welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
In our culture, the church used to be the center of everything that went on in our community. I think that those of you that are 50 and older, you can remember, if you've been in the church that long, you might remember some of that. Now, for those, I will say us because I'm just almost there, but not quite. For those of us, or for those that are 50 and younger, really, if we wanted to be honest about it, the church has not been the center of our culture our entire life. I mean, I can look back and I can remember Wednesday nights and Sundays were not important to our culture. Now, I'm not saying they weren't important to the Christian, but to our culture, there was a problem. And I hear of a time where society would look to the church when they were looking to the future, they were looking on decisions that were to be made, and they would consider the church in their decision. If not only consider it, they would consult the leadership, the pastor, the community would contact the church before they would make a major decision. I have read story after story how that was the case, and the church had a big influence. But now, I just see the church has lost a lot of its influence, and I wonder sometimes what happened. And I can point to 100 different things as to what happened and why we headed the direction that where we are at now. But if we were really just, I mean, as a general rule, we have people who are Christians, and we have for the last 50 years. I've been to youth retreats and saw 100 saved. I have watched Billy Graham crusades online, thousands saved. I don't think the issue is people choosing Christianity. I think what has happened is after salvation, people didn't really make God the priority. The basketball practice, baseball practice, everything. Well, the coach, the school, and Wednesday work. There used to be a day and time, and actually I do remember this, that the blue laws were in act. And Sundays were more important than what they are now in our society. And people that weren't Christians were frustrated all the time because they didn't go to church on Sunday and nothing was open. You don't have to raise your hand, but anybody went to eat at Chick-fil-A on Sunday? I can't tell you the amount of times we've come back from Hot Springs, Arkansas. Let's stop at Chick-fil-A on the way. And somebody's always, I ain't open. And then inevitably, somebody comes back and says, and praise God for that. See, I just find ourselves in a place where we've got a lot of Christians who gave their heart and life to Christ, or did they? So I'm just here to say, if we really give ourselves to Christ and put Him as our priority, then why are the Christians not standing up and there's a difference being made in our society? Why isn't the church being looked to? See, until something or someone stands up and says, we're not doing this, then we're going to always have a society that's continually declining. And we have a world that's continually, as we look at it, going, man, this thing's just getting worse and worse and worse. And all I'm here to tell you is that is why we're here, to bring this world to a place that it's not. And we've got to take responsibility. See, what happened was, is things came along that grabbed more of our attention than God. Things were looking to other things, and we weren't putting God where He needed to be. Now, I'm setting up something that I'm going to talk about for the next 3 to 4 weeks, and I've got way more notes than there's any way I can get through tonight. Because I've been, since January, this has been on my heart. And what I've seen happen since January, I know that the devil doesn't want anyone to hear what God has given me to give. And I want to encourage you for the next few Wednesday nights, make it a point to be here and talk to other people about this. Everyone knows the verse, Proverbs 29:18, without vision, people perish. We talk about it all the time. Without vision, people perish. Tragic when you get to a place in life where there's no vision. It's tragic when we have young people that have no vision. Because one day our young people will be 50, and I don't want them to be preaching this message. I want to see what we can do as a turnaround for the Christians, at least in our part of the world. And see, you have thoughts of making plans, or you have no thoughts of making any plans. Really, it's one of the two in life. Are you planning for something, or are you not planning for something? And instilling those thoughts in the minds of our young people is very important. Very important. They need to know when they're not going anywhere, they're not going to get anywhere. That was way, way more profound in my mind than what your face showed. They've got to know if they're not going anywhere, they won't get there. Because there's got to be a vision, a dream, a place where you're headed. And there's pressure in all of life. See, you don't want to be 19 and never have thought about what you're going to do when you get 19. At 15 and 16, you should have started thinking about some real direction and vision. And by the time you finish high school, there ought to be something you know you're doing when you finish high school. I'm preaching this right now very significantly and specifically, first because God told me to, and second because it makes perfect sense with where we're at. We got a bunch of people in 5 or 6 weeks that's going to be done with Leaders Academy. We got a bunch of people that are going to be done with CMA. We've got some of you that are going to be done with the school that you go to. And what I'm telling you, summer's coming. Or, yeah, summer's coming. And your only excitement is you're not going to be in school. And if your whole excitement is that you're not going to be in school, then you don't have a vision for where you're going to be. See, where the next, I just can't wait to get through this. That's not a good thing to ever say. Why do you want to get through this? Why is this health crisis, why is this position you're in wreaking havoc upon your life and you're living according to it, is because you don't have a vision where you're going to be after you get through it. Now, there's a time of going through, and we don't like the going through time, and it's not fun, and there's a time where God can use some things through that, and I get all of that, but when you get through, and I'm not filling in the blank, you fill in the blank of what you're going through. I can fill the blank of some medical things the last few months. I can fill in the blank of some things in my life. And I'm just preach what God gives me. And what I'm telling you is, if you don't have vision for where you're going to be when you get through, then where are you going to stay? Right where you're at. And I want to encourage you, you don't have to stay where you're at. If you're not going somewhere, why study? Why get in the Word if you're not going to live by faith? So there's got to be a reason why we're doing what we're doing. Why not just go smoke dope and stay in bed if we don't have a vision for what we're doing? Why not? I mean, you know, parents, you got to instill some correct thoughts in your kids, or why not? I mean, that's their mindset. If they don't have a vision for where they're going, then just why not? For the most part, people in our society don't have a vision and plan until it interrupts what they are enjoying at the present time, or not enjoying. See, if they're enjoying not working, then they're going to vote to keep not working. I mean, I just think that this verse in Proverbs, we talk a little bit about it, but we don't really get it. And I want to set up tonight what I'm going to be talking about for the next few weeks. For the most part, people do have a thought about where they'd like to be, but I want to instill it to the point that we live by it. See, here's where I want to be in 5 years. Here's where I want to be in 10 years. I'm right now going through finance every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with our Leaders Academy students, and I'm just sharing personal things in my life, mistakes, successes. I'm doing everything I can to get them to see, if you don't start planning right now, then you're just making a plan to fail. Right now, you got to get in your hearts where you're going to be. We got to determine our direction, and we determine that based on our daily decisions. The problem is people don't have a vision, a plan for a life, where they want to be when they get through with where they're at. Where do you want to be this summer, young people? You better be thinking about that. Where do you want to be when you graduate high school? You might want to be thinking about that. And many here are on a track, and they're going somewhere, and praise God for it. Hear what I'm saying, because this will encourage you and build you up. I want to talk today about one of the things that keep us, and it's a tool that the devil has, and I want to whoop him. I want to punch him right in the face, and I want to get him out of what we're dealing with, and it's a tool he does, and Christians don't even know he's doing it, and it's called distractions. 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 It's amazing to me how I see people day in and day out that say they're a Christian, but they're so distracted and the kingdom of God is not being furthered. Why? Because they're distracted. And they don't even know they are a lot of times. So what I want to do is, over the next few weeks, I want to talk about things that will bring attention to distractions, and then you can say, you know what? That's me right there. I've been distracted, and I'm not going to get where I need to be in 5 years because of that distraction. So that distraction's got to get out of the way. That distraction's got to move. We see it all the time. Bright, young, good-looking, knowledgeable people following God, excited about the directions he's called them to, and then you hear something that's going on in their life, and you're like, what? Really? What? How did that happen? Or someone having been married and had life going really well for them, and then you hear that they're having and marriage trouble. What? What were they thinking? That's the next thought that goes through your mind. What in the world were they thinking? Well, what happened is they got distracted. They got distracted, and they lost marriage as their goal. We have a marriage retreat coming up. This is a little side road, just for, if your marriage is not where you want it to be, or you want it to go somewhere in 5 years, you might avoid the distraction here in a couple weeks and get to a marriage retreat. Well, I can't go to that one. Which one are you going to? There's 92 of them across the United States this year. I can point you to a whole bunch of them. Well, I can't go the 21st. All right, what about the next weekend? There's one every weekend of this year except for Christmas. I just don't want to go. That's a lot better, just to say that. I mean, because my marriage is fine. I don't really care where it's, I mean, in 5 years, it'll be right where it's at. I'm fine with that. Don't say that to your spouse. Distractions surround us. They're everywhere. And you know, here's the thing. People, and I'm kind of stepping out there a little bit, because maybe this is just me, but I have felt at times I was right in the center of God's will, and then I looked back and I thought, I was distracted. I was distracted. So please open yourself up, not to hear me, but to hear the Spirit of God. If he speaks to you and says, I needed to hear that, be willing and welcome that. Welcome that. See, I just, young people, God told me to go to this college. I won't ask for a raise of hands of how many people's dropped out of college, but the percentage is overwhelming. God told me to go to this college, and then they go, and then they drop out. Did God really tell you? Well, God told me to come to this church. Yeah. God told me to take this job. It's just my dream job. And all of us have seen this. That same person who said, God told me to go to this college, is no longer in college. That same person that said, God told me that I was supposed to go to this church, that's just the greatest church ever, and then they're not there anymore. God told me that I was supposed to take that job as my dream job. Next thing you know, they've quit because somebody, whatever. What happened was distraction. Something caught their attention and made itself bigger than the vision God gave, or God was wrong, which I don't believe God is ever wrong, or they didn't hear him right in the first place. That's usually what they say. I must have missed it. Well, at what point are you going to get it? What point are you going to get it? Because this is the 20th church you've been in since you were in high school. So at what point are you going to get that God called you somewhere and you can't let distractions come above God? Now, I'm not saying that you're never allowed to leave a church in your life. I'm not saying that you're never allowed to leave a job. Hear what I'm saying. You've got to fill in the blank. Is the distraction keeping you from furthering the kingdom of God? See, something caught their attention. And as we talk about distractions, I want to know that as I am made aware of these distractions and I can identify them in my life, I want to be able to continue to move forward and not let the distraction halt what God has. That's not going to happen. The kingdom of God's going to be furthered, and the distraction is not going to grab my attention and keep me there. If some of these people and some of us were mindful of the distractions before they were distracted, the distraction wouldn't have got them. The distraction wouldn't have got them. And that's why I'm talking about this over the next few weeks. And I'll probably only get through one tonight because I'm really trying to set this up. Mark chapter 4. You might say, okay, this is great. Let's get the word. Here we go. Mark chapter 4, verse 13. I love this. This is, as you hear in things taught on the parable, the parables out of the word, this one right here just kind of sets the tone for it. This description of people is what this is. The description of people. Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Jesus said to him, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, then you're not going to understand all the other ones. So we got to get this one. This is very important. Verse 14, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represent others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now, I, as you have heard me, and praise God tonight, I am honored to have Rusty and Susan Allen in our presence, and I couldn't be more thrilled. But as God had laid the message tonight on my heart, the last one I would have probably asked to come is an Underhill. Because nobody brings this alive like they do. And I'm her and her dad, Tom, I am telling you, could speak on this all year, and you could dig more and more and more and more out of it. And I am grateful, and I appreciate that. But this is Ashley tonight. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to briefly tell you what I want you to hear right now from this, because it's very, very important. And then we're going to move forward into some other things. And then we're going to, over the next few weeks, come back to different points in here. But I'm not going to get even remotely into touching this passage. There's three points that I want to bring out here. First, verse 15, there's footpath people. Those who with no vision, God's word is not in footpath people. Satan takes it away. God's word's not there. It's not there. It's not there. And you got to know they have that they came to church. They thought they heard something. They didn't make any decision. They walk out and nothing changes. The word fell. I mean, it was there. It was given. It was available, but nothing. Have you ever talked to somebody and you got done and said, what did you say? There's a footpath person. Let me just tell you, I counsel footpath people all the time. I'm trying to give them direction, meaning, things. I'm trying to bring the word in and one thing at a time, and they go out and live just like they did when they came in. I'm like, footpath. Verse 16, there's rocky people. Those who don't have roots established, they fall away. These are the people that go to youth retreat. Youth, hear me tonight. Don't let this be you this weekend after next. Don't let this be you. Don't be a rocky person that you get all pumped up at a men's seminar, a youth retreat, a women's retreat. You get fired up, and then you come back, and you're all excited until you go to work. And then next thing you know, you're right back to living exactly how you were because It just didn't last very long. It was a great idea, but not for me. Type of people who tithe for 3 weeks and then say, didn't work. Rocky person. The third one, thorny people. Thorny people. Those are those people who allow the vision to be overtaken by something or by someone else. The seed fell among the thorns. It started out, it was kind of one of those things, and I wanted to be a faith person, but you don't know all I'm going through. Thorn person. Everything else became, people in the hospital, can I pray for your healing? Yeah, I guess. Everybody else has. Nobody else has been able to do anything. Maybe you can. Thorn person. Well, do you believe God's word? Yes. Do you believe God can do? Yeah, but I don't know if it's for me or not. Well, the worries of life crowded out the word. See, these three things you've got to know: worries, desires for other things. I'm just too busy for Wednesday nights. I'm too busy for Sundays. I'm too busy. Let me just tell you, there are some people who are not here on Sundays, but they're not too busy for the word. There are people who are not here on Wednesdays, and they're the people who every time I see them, they're talking about a podcast they just listened to. They're feeding themselves the word. Maybe a job did pull you out, but that doesn't have to crowd out what you can get. We live in a day in technology. You can't not hear the word if you have a desire for it. The problem is other desires became bigger than the desire of the word of God. See, those are the three things let's talk about tonight. So Matthew 14, here we go. I got to go. Matthew 14, verse 25. Matthew 14, verse 25. One of my favorite passages of scripture in all the Bible. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on water. This is just said like it's no big deal. You know, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward him walking on the water. Well, first off, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And the next is you got somebody walking on water. And Jesus came towards him walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in their fear. It's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to him and said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's easy for you to say. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're walking on water. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here. And Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. Walking on the water. Tell me to come to you with me walking on the water. If that is you, now here's what I just keep going through my mind, this story. And it's really amazing because I've been listening to sermons after sermons on it. And I so many different thoughts here that you can read between the lines, I guess you could say in a sense. I'm not adding to the word, but my mind just makes the Bible come alive because I think that's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings the word and revelation up. And I sit there and I think about it and I'm thinking, it's a ghost. Ah! Hey guys, it's me. And they know the sound of me. I mean, they know the sound of Jesus. And so all of a sudden that fear that was, have you ever had somebody scare you and then they put their arms around you? It still doesn't make your heart immediately go back in the 60s. But it kind of makes you go, and your heart's still beating fast, but all of a sudden there's a calming effect. And you might even, if you can get your voice, you might even be able to talk. And I used to enjoy scaring Andy, my stepdad. He's so fun to scare. Because he's a Marine. And what I'd do is I'd come up and I'd just startle him, or he didn't see me. And I, you know, just, does anybody like doing that to people? I don't know, somebody just like that. And then as soon as you do it, you better go like this because he's turning around swinging right at the same. You're not going to get something out of him. So you got to watch out or you'll get hurt. He'll whoop. I mean, it's coming. And then you just laugh. And he turns around and goes, you about got hurt. You about got hurt. I think of Jesus here and he's coming in. And I don't really think he was trying to freak out the disciples, But this is Jesus. He had to know. I mean, this is Jesus. He had to know that might kind of freak him out. I don't know. In my mind, I just kind of think, I wonder what they're going to think when they see me. Walking up, it's a ghost. Hey, guys, take courage. It's me. And there's something about right after you scare someone. I know I've been the guy scared a couple times when that happens. It's like there's something about it that makes you go, sigh. And when I'm the one scaring, there's something about it when I know that they're not really mad at me. And I just think there was something about it when they heard Jesus that they weren't like, oh, he was kidding with us. It was, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. And heart's still beating. And Peter's just real quick because he's going to talk first. He immediately, if that's you, tell me to come walking on the water to you. And I don't know if Peter was doing that just because the walking on the water would be really cool. But since I was a kid, you've heard me say this. I've tried it and tried it and tried it. I'm just waiting to see Jesus. Even if he scares me, it'll be okay. I just want him to say, come. I was on the Sea of Galilee and I wanted to do it so bad. And my wife said, Jesus is not here telling you. She didn't really say it like that. But whatever she said brought it to my attention. You know what? If he says, come, you can. And I'm just... If there's going to be somebody walking on the water, you can know that I might have a chance because I'm looking for it. Call it what you want. If I go back to see Galilee, I'm jumping out. He did it once there. Somebody, just a man, but a man that had a lot of faith, and Jesus said, come on. And so he said, come on over. And anyway, here's what happens. Peter went over the side of the boat because Jesus said what in verse 29? He said, come. So he went over the side of the boat, and what does it say he did? He walked on water. He walked on water towards Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified. He began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out, grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. The disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they explained. Now, we're going to talk about this for several weeks, but Peter has a vision that he wants to walk with Jesus. And even if it's on water, it doesn't matter where, he wants to walk with Jesus. And if Jesus is on water, that's where Peter wants to be. Wherever Jesus is, that's where he wants to be. And let me tell you, there is a big risk walking on water. There is. You don't know what's under there. I mean, my wife will tell you, I'm not getting in there. I don't know what's under there. You can't see all the way to the bottom. There for a while, it just pulls. Anybody just pull people here? Because you can see the bottom. I'm not into the lake deal because there's some, I'm not into the Sea of Galilee. You don't know what's under there. And so there's a risk when you get out. And I mean, let alone the winds and the waves. There's a risk. Would everybody agree with that? There's a risk. Let me tell you this. You will never fulfill a vision without risk being involved. It'll never happen for you. You start a business, you start a job, you start college, there's risk. If you stay in bed and never have a job, there's not a lot of risk involved. But if you're going to get out there and try something different than you, there's a lot of risk involved. If you're going to get up and you're going to step over the edge of a boat and you're going to get after it, you're going to have a risk. Peter's attitude. You know what? I don't care what others think. As long as my eyes are on Jesus, he just didn't care. And I want to today just to proclaim out of my mouth, and I pray that you will yours, I'm ready for the risk. I'm ready for the risk. Why? Because I know that the risk will produce and no risk will not. So I'm ready for the risk. I can look back and I can see a few risks that I took that didn't work out so well. I don't know if anybody else can say, I've been there. That wasn't a good risk. But there are some risks that work out really well. And what I'm telling you is I have no area of my life I can look back on and see a major fruit, a major act or movement of God in my life if that risk didn't come first. Just haven't seen it. And so I want you to know there are distractions that will sink you. There are distractions that will sink you, but if you're not willing to take the risk, you'll never walk on water. Now, let's go in to our distractions. First distraction that I'm going to start with tonight, and I'm going to talk about for a few minutes, is the distraction of a broken focus. I have so many stories of broken focus in my life. Distractions. And I'll just go right to one, so I can just start it out with a little story. I am big on marriage counseling. If you're getting married, I think you need as much marriage counseling as you can talk someone into giving you before you get married. Because there is nothing to prepare you to live with someone of the opposite sex that wasn't raised the way you were raised. There's nothing to prepare you. We got it all figured out. You are naive. Well, we've been married for 3 months and we've not had no, you're still in the honeymoon phase. Let me just tell you, you're naive if you think that your past and backgrounds aren't going to come and make a difference. I mean, come up and there's going to be a distraction at some point in that marriage. Well, I thought it was a good idea. So Michelle and I, we scheduled marriage counseling with our pastor of the church that we were going to before we got married. And she would go in and I would go in. We would go in together. And then we had times that I would go in by myself. Well, I work nights. And so I just thought, well, I'll just go by and see him on after I get off work in the morning. And that's what I did. I just went by to see him. I don't really remember this. It's kind of one of those things that's a blank in my mind. But this pastor remembers it like it was yesterday. He said, you were sitting there in my office, and I'm sitting here talking to you about some things that you really needed to know, and you just fell asleep. Now, at this stage in life, I still have episodes of falling asleep. But usually not when I'm just in a conversation with one person. You think about how awkward that is. You're sitting in the office with a pastor. Next thing you know, I'm asleep. And he said, you woke up and just went, mm-hmm. That's my story. You probably have something similar where there's, maybe it's not. Some of y'all go, no, nothing like this. Derek, come on. Yeah, I got something similar. No, nothing. A broken focus. Come on. I know there are times, men, that your wife was talking, you didn't hear anything they said. A broken focus. Women, come on. I know you're multitaskers, but there are times that you didn't hear not anything that was said. And a broken focus. Well, Peter gets out there on the water, and he gets moved by what's going on around him. And we've all been there. Maybe it's what's going on the night before and you start thinking about that and someone's talking and their voice. I know some of y'all done it. I'm the preacher. I see when you sleep. You don't sound holier than thou, Peter. Sign up for college. Good looking guy, good looking girl, depending on the opposite. I mean, not, if you're a guy, it's a good-looking girl. Let me make sure we're real clear here. We've got a problem with this in our society. And so they catch your attention. And you didn't go to college looking for that guy. You didn't go to college looking for that girl. But they just happen to be sitting right next to you in the same class. Wham, distraction. And you don't hear anything the professor just said. I've seen it at Byler Ranch 100 times. And we tell them the first day, you don't come here for a relationship. So don't even look at the opposite sex. Don't even look at them. We're just here to concentrate on the Lord and enjoy our time together doing what we're doing. Wham! I mean, those eyes, they catch and just... Somebody's up there trying to talk. The call on your life was to go to college, and you drop out of college and you get married. Distraction. Come on, we've all seen a broken focus that takes our mind off of what we said God called us to do. You're going to a church, next thing you do is you're talking to somebody at your work. Man, you ought to come try at our church. If someone's going to a church, give them an accolade and say, good. And you need to get involved right there. You stay right where you're at. That's one of the things I think is really important. We're not in a competition. We're on the same team. So the idea of sitting here doing this and that, but the distraction of something that looks a little better the focus gets off of where you're at, and you start to fail in college. You start to fail in wanting to be in your own church. You start to fail at the job because there's somebody else talking to you about another job or more pay. Proverbs 5:1, my son, pay attention. Pay attention to my wisdom. Pay attention to my wisdom. There is some real wisdom in what God is saying to us. Deuteronomy 6:7, keep the word, teach it to your children, talk about it when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you get up. Here's what he just said. Listen, keep the word and teach it to your children all the time. That's what, because really, you talk about it when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you get up. Are you anywhere else? Well, I'm at work. That's on the road away from home. See, all the time. Deuteronomy 5:32. Be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Don't turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. You know, it happens to people all the time. They are told what to do, and then they're told to do something else right in the middle of what they were told to do. The problem is it's not the same teller. The distraction comes from someone who didn't tell you. Who told you to do what you were supposed to do is the one who we need to be listened to. When God says to do something, he doesn't ask you to come to him, but stop and look at the winds and the wave while you're at it. He didn't tell you that. There's a big indicator here of what broken focus is. Peter said he wanted to come. So what did Jesus say? He said, come. Peter spoke a word out of his mouth, come. Jesus confirmed it with his word, and the words got in sync. They got the same word, and all of a sudden there was an agreement between him and and Jesus, and the next thing you know, he's on his way, and he's doing exactly what God told him to do until all of a sudden God said, hey, stop and look at the winds and the waves. God didn't say that. What it says very, very clearly in verse 30, it says, when he saw the winds and the waves. Oh, this is really, really good. As long as he had his mind on the word, and the word that Christ said was the word that he said, then he could live based on faith. Faith comes by the word, by hearing. See, the idea of him hearing Jesus in the present tense, he was able to move toward what he heard, but then he said he saw the winds and the waves. You know, when you're doing what God asks of you, there's always an opportunity when you hear God for you then to see something that God didn't put in front of you, a fallen world, a messed up world. All of a sudden, your sight didn't get turned off when you hear. It's you heard and you weren't allowing the hearing to be your guide, your direction, your forward momentum. What you see becomes what captures a broken focus. A broken focus. While we're on that, let me just say it like this, because some of y'all still look at me like I'm not getting it. Peter was standing on the word. Let me give him first. He was walking on the word. He was walking on water. Well, how was he doing that? Because he had heard the word. That's how he was walking on the water. He had heard the word. What he had heard. What messed him up is what he saw. Just go to 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Do you see how this comes right in? We walk by faith, not by sight. Well, what's faith? It's what you hear of the word. So if you're going to hear the word, that's how we walk. And it don't matter if you're walking on concrete, if you're walking on gravel, or if you're walking on water. We walk by faith. And when you start walking based on what you see, you're going to be messed up. And as Christian people, we've got to have faith so present in us that is how we walk. And then when we get that doctor's report, then when we have, see, faith then becomes how we walk, not what I just read on a paper. And if I'm walking according to what I hear from God, then I start to watch other things, and all of them just complement what I heard. But when you're looking for your direction by what you see, then you're not looking for your direction by what you hear. That's why you're in church tonight. That's why you're in your word every day. That's why we can just go on and on here, and I want you to understand how important it is. A broken focus is when we start living by what we're seeing, not by what God said. And by what God said, we can make a different path. Now here's the different path. Peter's walking on water based on the word. He sees a distraction and he has a broken focus. So the distraction of a broken focus can get you. Now we'll fill in 100 different things next week that start kind of, oh, I didn't think about that one. Oh, I didn't think about that one.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.